And welcome, 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 welcome to the Meta Mind Shift Show. I am your host. My name is Tech Nicole. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and just thank you. We are here today and we're going to be talking about the metaverse. This show is dedicated to a meta mind shift. And what is that? That is the shift from your current reality to understanding and preparing for the metaverse that is to come. The metaverse is coming. People are building up the metaverse all around us. And so regardless of whether you are in cryptocurrency or you're thinking about NFTs, or you haven't even started your journey into thinking about how the metaverse can affect you, this is a show for you. We talk to entrepreneurs, we talk to world builders, and we talk to people who are just metaverse curious. I am delighted to have all of you here and watching across the world this evening. I am your host. Some call me the metaverse goddess, others call me Tech Nicole. My name is Nicole Maxwell, and I am here to take you on a journey into the future. Before we get started today, I want to just let you know that you're in the right place. We have some amazing things happening today, and we have a special guest that I can't even tell you how excited I am to have this person with us. We are, in fact, in for a treat. We are going to have with us here today a one-of-a-kind person. His name is Mr. Warrington Hudlin. He is a producer, a director, an actor. He is an organizer and disruptor, a content creator of motion pictures, television, virtual reality. Y'all probably know him from amazing films such as House Party, Boomerang, and Bebe's Kids. He is the president of the BFF, also known as the Black Filmmaker Foundation. And he's here today because he is a metaverse creator. He is the creator, the innovator of WeWatchTogether.us. And so you guys, when we come back from commercial, we are going to have a conversation with Mr. Warrington Hudlin. And we are going to talk about a few things, including the metaverse, including all things futuristic. And we're just going to get to know him a little bit. And so I am extremely excited to have him with us today. And while we are doing that, we're going to go ahead and watch a message from our sponsors, and then we will come back and we'll have Mr. Hudlin on the show with us. So thank you for tuning in. Get comfortable, grab some popcorn, grab your favorite drink, and tap in. Mr. Hudlin, welcome to the Meta Mind Shift Show. I am so excited to have you here. Just thank you for coming through. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Hey, that is awesome. I want to start off, just let our viewers know. I gave a quick overview of who you are and what you do, but can you tell us Who are you? What have you done? And why should people know who you are, even if they don't know that they know you?
You know, that's a question that leads to vanity, which I got rid of. Vanity is something that thwarts progress. I like to talk about what I'm doing and what may be helpful to people. The movies I've done in the past, people seem to really, really like. And one of them, of course, was House Party, and they keep remaking it. Like there's a new version that has been finished that LeBron James company made, but he hasn't been scheduled for release. And Boomerang, people seem to like a lot. And was a movie that was really the first movie, I think, that Halle Berry and Chris Rock became to the major awareness of folks. And then I did some things that are not well known that I think I'm very, very proud of. I did a series for HBO, a series called Cosmic Slop. Think of Twilight Zone kind of format. And the host was George Clinton of Parliament Funkadelics. And each of these episodes had a kind of Twilight Zone twist to it. And so I try as a filmmaker to do things that are original. If it's done before, I don't want, why should I do it? Someone else should do it. So as you ask, who am I? I'm the guy who's trying to push boundaries, to disrupt the powers that be, and to tell the stories that are not being told by anybody else. In fact, stories have probably been hidden and repressed by the corporate media and the dominant society.
So you are a producer, a director, and a filmmaker. You are somebody who's out here, and you have over four decades worth of work. And so, yes, I am so excited that you're, you know, telling us some of the things that we don't know. We definitely resonate with the three that are very common to people. But, you know, I think that that's something that's important not to miss, is that you've been a creator for over 40 years. And so you have a whole catalog of your own creations that are out here in the world. And so first of all, how did you get started? So when you were way back in the day, how did you actually come to be a producer and director?
I was in college. I was walking down the street and I saw a movie plan, had a very unusual poster. And the poster said, Sweet, Sweet Bags, Badass Song. Unusual name for a movie. So I bought a ticket and I went inside. So the movie started and it said, Sweet, Sweet Bags, Badass Storm Song starring the Black community. What kind of movie is this? And in the story, this character called Sweetback, who got into a conflict with the police. It was a police brutality, and he interceded. And he killed the police who were beating up this young Black man. For the next 90 minutes, they chased him. And the thing that, by the way, the director's name is Melvin Van Peebles, who ended up being my godfather. He got away. And I thought that if you look at the history of Black people in Hollywood cinema, Black people not only get killed, but they get killed usually in the first 5 minutes. So Melvin Van Peebles came in and completely disrupted the dominant American cinematic narrative. And so I said, oh, I got to be like this guy. So while I went to college not thinking about film, when I saw what he accomplished and the possibilities what storytelling can do, I said, I switched over, became a filmmaker because being inspired by Melvin Van Peebles.
Wow. Inspired by Melvin Van Peebles. And so Van Peebles, you said that's your godfather. That is amazing. So yeah, Van Peebles is a great name. And I'm sure that has something to do with Mario Van Peebles or no?
That's Mario is his son. And Mario very generously refers to me as his big brother. Because I met Mel at a film festival in France back in the late 70s. We've been friends ever since. He passed away last fall, but he was 89 years old, so he had a very strong run.
Wow. Wow. This is awesome. This is amazing. And, you know, It's interesting because it's generational, right? So we're talking about the future. The show is always about the future. So I wanted to dip into the past just a little bit, but we are definitely gonna dive into the future. Oh, go ahead.
But you know what? I want you to feel comfortable, because if we don't know our past, we will know what we're building from. So I think that if there's any deficit in American life today, is that we don't really start with the past. And so I encourage you that impulse, don't be shy about that. We stand on the work and of our people who preceded us. And I have been other great giants who have helped me along the way. And the work I do today is all based on what they gave me as a responsibility to continue what they accomplished. So I think that if we don't focus on the past, we won't do a good job about the present or the future.
That is very true. So let me ask you then, how long have you been future forward, thinking about the past? Like, how long have you been thinking about the future and the future in the metaverse?
Or the metaverse, or just in general?
Both. So the metaverse is a term that's come up here lately, but the future has been around for eons. So I'm definitely going to dive into kind of what your favorite movies are and all that too.
Oh, good. Well, for film, I mean, I belong to the first generation of Black filmmakers who actually went to film school. Mm-hmm. Two of us went to film school in the 1970s. In fact, they didn't even teach film at my university. I had to go to them and say, I want to study film. And they said, well, we don't have any undergraduate program. I said, well, let me go to graduate school with it. So as an undergraduate, I got consent, permission from the university to take classes with graduate students. And all my classmates thought I had lost my mind. They said, man, you need to go to law school. You need to go to medical school. You're wasting your parents' time. I said, no, there's something here. And fortunately, years and years later, all those people made fun of me. The teenager said, you know what? But I'm glad you listened to me. I'm glad you're a filmmaker. But so I started in filmmaking before there was filmmaking. And to give you a sense of how senior I am, I started a not-for-profit called the Black Filmmaker Foundation. This is back in the late 70s. And it's a 501c3 tax-exempt organization. We were organizing the first ever Black Film Festival in New York City. And by the way, that was the second ever in the United States. And so filmmakers began to gravitate, solidarity with us. And one day a young man came in and said, listen, I'm raising money for a movie, and I need a not-for-profit to sponsor me so that when somebody wants to give me a grant, they can, you know, it'll process. I said, sure. So I said, listen, have the foundation contact me. We will process your grant. You can make your movie. And it was a movie that I think some of you know about called She's Gotta Have It. And that young man was Spike Lee. But so I remember you see this gray in his beard. I mean, I was day one. All the things that you see, you know, we were there. We were in the room.
Wow. In the room where it happened. We talk about that a little bit. Man, like, you have so much that you could tell us just about all of your experiences and things, but what led you to this point? So what led you to the point where you're thinking about kind of your catalog of things that you have, your catalog of creations and film and all these wonderful things that we love and adore, into shifting that kind of into the future of the metaverse? So how did you come to be in this specific space?
Well, the through line through everything I've done as a creative artist is under one word: resistance. I really felt that since 1619, you know, there's been an assault on people of color, whether it be, you know, indigenous people, of course, African-American. So we have a challenge to resist through different platforms. It can be economics, it can be business, it can be the arts. So I focused initially on film and made progress. I mean, legitimate progress. But I realized that for real freedom of expression, to tell all the stories, when I saw the evolution of the virtual reality technology, I was in it from 2015, fascinated by it, enjoyed it very much. It was when the the Quest headset allowed it being a socially shared experience. But it's just not me in, with a headset watching one thing, but me there with my friends having a conversation of what we're looking at and talking about. Then I said, okay, now I should shift. This is a new platform of freedom. And that's why I'm here today.
Ooh, I love that. So, you know, I'm going to use that and credit you. It is a new platform of freedom. You guys write that down. It's a new platform of freedom. You heard it here. That's the reality of the situation, especially when we're thinking about the fact that the future is being rebuilt right now. So we had a future, and that future looked a whole lot like our present. But right now we have an opportunity for that future to change. And when you talk about, you know, creating tables and making tables and having a place at the table, we are in a space right now where we can actually create some of those. We can create what that future looks like, whether, you know, you want to be out in outer space or you want to be inside of a pumpkin, you can actually create that. And a lot of people, you know, for me, I think that it's interesting that a lot of people to me seem to just want to recreate what they already have. And we can do so much more. So when I saw what you were doing, we met the other night, but when I saw what you were doing with We Watch Together, I just think that that's fantastic. So tell us a little bit about how you came up with We Watch Together.
In fact, when you first log in to We Watch Together, the opening page says, don't be late for the future.
Hey.
And so I'm just really concerned that that we should not have to ask what Bobby Brown said, it's my prerogative, you know. Storytelling should be our prerogative. We shouldn't have to ask consent, whether it be from the studios for financing or the theater change for distribution of our work. The metaverse, particularly We Watch Together, we can come together and show movies. We can have discussions. We can have all kinds of community. We Watch Together is named that because it's about community building. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to be free. That is the ambition, and that's what we're working toward. That's why I'm so delighted to meet you, because you obviously are a community builder as well. And the more of us connect, the bigger and stronger we will be.
That is so true. And it's you know, apparent all the time. Thank you for that. It's interesting to me because community is at the core of the decentralized space. So when you're thinking about Web3, community is what matters. So whether you've got an NFT project, whether that's an NFT project for art or for a film just that's being distributed through the blockchain or through music that's being released on the blockchain, like those things, the community surrounds them and they're what pushes it forward. And so to hear you say that about your metaverse, that is also extremely amazing to me as well. When you think about, you said that you were excited because you found VR and VR was a way for you to be free and to not have to ask permission. What do you think about the blockchain, or and understanding that you may not know a whole lot or, you know, kind of where you are inside of that discovery model, but what do you think about this blockchain?
Well, I have a great friend. His name is Ken Alexander, and he is a blockchain wizard. And he's the guy who was encouraging me to get involved, explain it to me. You know, I'm a student, but I'm his student. He's like encouraged me to get involved. He's involved in crypto. He's done very well in crypto. And the other person who's my advisor and guidance is Ed Young, who you met the other day on the same mm-hmm. program we met. And he's involved in NFTs. In fact, he's got NFT .hiphop, you know, that he's launching. And so these spaces are people who really have done the work, figure out how it works and how it doesn't work. And so I follow them. I follow these people who have the investment, because all this space, because it's not only new, it's constantly changing. I often describe the work I've done in the metaverse, it's called, it's like building a plane in flight. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally every day, or not every day, but certainly every 30 days, it changes dramatically in ways that if you're not alert, you can't keep up. You can't fully realize the potential. So it's exciting and wonderful. And the other coincidence, but that my full shift happened during the COVID period. I had a movie project. I said, you know, I'm not going to have my actors or my crew, you know, at risk. So I shifted all my energy to the metaverse and got just as much creative satisfaction building that as I would on a movie set. So the timing always worked out really well.
Wow. So you shifted from being a producer, from being a director, from being an actor to creating the space and the environment where those types of things are enjoyed.
It's the same jobs on a different platform. And by the way, I should say something. It says actor. I'm an actor only because sometimes I do cameos. And so there's a cameo on me in Boomerang, a cameo on Hospital. But I'm not really an actor. I wish I could act because then I would really.
Listen, you did that. You were there. It happened. Own it. Take it. So, social VR, social virtual reality for everybody mm-hmm. who's catching up to what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. That is where you stick on a headset and you jump into a virtual space. So you are fully immersed. So when did you get your first headset?
It was not the Quest 2, the original Quest. Okay. What year was that released?
I don't know.
I've had one for at least 3 years.
Wow.
I had the original Quest. Let me give a shout out. The person who's responsible for my VR expertise and experience, a brother named Lauren Hammond. Lauren Hammond was a curator and a director of the Tribeca Film Festival. And they had an immersive division. And I'm very friends with people at Tribeca. I mean, Jane Rosenthal, Robert De Niro, they know me from my movie days. I used to have offices in their building. And so when VR was launched, that's what it was. That's how I really got into VR, because they launched it and I was curious about it. And so they say, hey, man, okay, come look. And so I was blown away. Mm. Can I come back? He said, yeah. I literally came back every day. It was like 10 days. I spent 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day watching every VR. And so I became real knowledgeable. I did it for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And the last year I came, year before last, I said, hey, can I have my pass? Because they didn't even charge me. They just gave me a pass. He said, sorry, brother, this year we can't give you, we can't give you a free pass. Why not? I've been coming for 4 years consecutive. You gave me a pass. What, I don't understand. I mean, what did I do wrong? He says, not that. Oh. Hand me a pass. He said, judge. This year you're judging. Okay. So I went from being just a fan to being a judge. And it was wonderful. And that festival, if a person wants to really get introduced to VR, come to New York for the Tribeca Film Festival. And they have the best collection of virtual reality from all over the world.
Wow. Wow. So first of all, you're a long-term VR enthusiast. Second of all, you are a judge for one of the best festivals ever. That is awesome. And so you get to experience other people's experiences. So what they are creating, like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you judge that?
Well, you meet your artist. What was the ambition? You only judge them what you're trying to do, not what I may want to do. And virtual reality has a variety of genres. So I have biases. I'm not a gamer. I know you, I think you're a gamer.
And
Boogie is a gamer, but I don't come out of gaming. You know, I come out of narrative. And so I like those things. So just, again, judge people by what they say they want to do, not what you like or don't like. So I think it's there's a couple of VRs that was really just blew me away. People like Gabo Arora, but he's a South Asian brother who done some. The film that he did, VR piece called Clouds Over Sidra. Amazing virtual asset. Oh my God, look at this. And over time, I saw different ones that were really just showed me the possibility of the work. And as you see that, you get inspired and you figure out what you can and cannot do. And the last time they were, there's a new switch in VR where they have actors. And so actors in the experience. So you part in props in VR. Okay, here's my favorite, my face VR story. There's a VR experience called Jack, J-A-C-K. It was a long line. Oh my God, everybody wanted to go in. And so I said, hey man, hook me up. So sure enough, they let me cut the line. So this is VR, which it's early. So they had the big, heavy headset and it was cables to it. It wasn't wireless. It was like, right. You know, old school. So I go in, I felt like I got a diving suit on, right? And so they go in. So I walk in and I'm in this VR experience. And everything looks very cartoonish. Mm-hmm. I'm looking around, and all of a sudden, this person comes in the room. And it's not human, it's not animal. I don't know what it was. It's, from the waist S, it was like a fish or a bird, and it reached down, it was like a skeleton. It was just bizarre. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And so it started talking to me live, not recorded. And it was saying things like, I want you to, I'm getting ready to leave. And somebody comes, see that radio over there? Yeah. So I want you to trade it for money. I was, no, don't argue with me, trade it for money. Yeah. Whoa, you know? So I looked at the radio, and I thought the radio was you know, something was, you know, CGI. But I could touch it, it was a real radio. I said, wow. I'm standing, I don't know what to do, and all of a sudden, I hear a noise outside the door. So I walked to the window, I pulled the curtains back, and this room I was in was on the lake. I go onto the lake, and another creature, I don't know, it wasn't human, and it said, hey, you know, I said, well, listen, I was told to trade this thing for some money. He said, no, I'm not going to give you money. So I'm basically negotiating live with this. So finally, I said, I'll tell you what, I won't give you the money, but I'll trade you the radio for a bean. If I, this will go along with the thing. So I gave them the radio and I got the bean. And I came back into the room and was just waiting. And the first creature I met came back and said, where's the money? I don't have any money. I got a bean. Bean, the thing went off on me, just almost tripped me out. How could you get some money? You got a bean? And they took the bean out of my hand. It was physical. I could feel it, right? And they took the bean and they threw it out the door. They said, sit down there till I get back. I looked over and it was like a bed. So I thought the bed was, you know, it's a CGI, but it was a real bed. I mean, I could sit on it. So I'm sitting on the bed and all of a sudden the bed starts jumping. And like, I had to hold on to the edge of the bed because I was going to fall, you know? And all of a sudden in the middle of the floor cracked open like this. And a bean sprout come up to the floor. Went all the way to the ceiling. I said, oh my God, Jack, the beans dropped.
Wow.
So it was over. I got up, went back out in the lobby. They took the thing out there and disconnected me. I was like, wow, what was that? And so I'm trying to, you know, it's such a, this may be a 5 minute, you know, or maybe 10 minute experience. So I'm trying to get back my bearings. So a woman walks over to me and says, hey, you came out. How was it? And she put her hand out to shake my hand. And I paused and just looked at her. And I said, excuse me, I'm not being rude. I'm not sure if you're real or not. And so it took me maybe almost, I don't know, how many minutes to get back to what's real and what's not real. When I saw that virtual reality, shattered reality, and you don't know what's real and what's not real. I mean, like the Matrix. Right. I mean, that's I've experienced that. It's not a movie. I've been there. And that's where I got to be.
Wow. And so, you know, that's amazing, because the story would be amazing if it was coming from anybody, but it's coming from somebody who's actually into movies and in Hollywood. So you actually do see the CGI and you see that up close. Yeah, like, you know what that looks like. So that's
awesome. You see something CGI and then you can touch it. Oh, that's like,
So, you know, as a gamer, like, I come from a different space, so it's good to hear, you know, you're coming from, you said the narrative, so you're mm-hmm. coming from the storyteller's perspective of mm-hmm. viewing these social worlds. What did VR mean to you now that, you know, we're in this space of COVID and having to kind of be sequestered or away from all the things you usually know and love? Were you able to utilize VR in that space?
Absolutely. I mean, the irony is that in the crisis of COVID, I found the opportunity of creating in virtual reality. But rather than be at home, and like many of my colleagues are very frustrated and angry, I actually got more productive. I've been more productive during COVID than I've been long before. And so the imprisonment of COVID actually freed me as an artist.
That's awesome. What do you like to do in VR? So what's your, you just talked about the Jack VR experience. What do you like to do, like, on a regular basis when you log in?
There's just mundane things. For example, I watch Netflix exclusively in VR. Why? Because the screen is so big. and I also, there are concerts on YouTube in VR that I've never seen live. Prince has quite a few concerts. I'm a Prince fan. And as you know, the screen is like, what, 30 feet? And it's gigantic. So I see a lot of concerts. And there's a couple famous locations. One's called Alcove. Mm-hmm. And at Alcove, there's a globe. And you can just point the globe and go to any country.
Yep.
And I spent some time in Brazil. And so I point at Brazil and go to places I've been before and get all nostalgic.
I think that's awesome. Have you branched out beyond your VR headset, or you said Quest, so you have a Quest headset. Have you tried any of the other ones that are out there? Are you looking to get into any of the other ones?
Well, the one I'm waiting for, which is not available in the United States, is the Pico.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Can't wait. Yes, that is going to be my jump off of Quest. I can't wait till the Pico comes out and available. Yeah. sorry, go ahead.
No, since they raised the price $100, I mean, the Quest just went up for $100, you know, more.
Yep. And it makes it a really easy decision just to spend another $100 or so and get the other one. And so for me, my holdback on Quest is data. So do you ever think about the data and how it's transacting in your headset?
I don't, and I probably should.
We can have conversations about that for sure. But, you know, I think that it's amazing kind of what we can do when it comes to VR right now. But like I was saying, as a gamer, it's hard for me to love it 100%. Like, I probably could not spend 8 hours in my headset right now. I'm amazed that you did.
No, let me tell you, this is going to give you how addicted I am. I'll be not to laugh at me, okay?
Okay, I will laugh.
I actually went to sleep in my headset.
Oh, I've done that.
Oh, okay, then there's two of us. And but when I woke up, I was in a VR experience. So I said, "Where am I?" They had to figure out where I am and figure out how to exit out.
I was disoriented in VR.
I was in alcove, and I don't know which country I was in. And because I don't take trips down the canals down to Venice, you know, in the Venice canals, and so you can just go everywhere. And so, but if you go to sleep and you wake out, you're still where you left off. Mm-hmm. No, this is not real. I got to find more. And you have to climb your way back into reality, like Matrix. Yeah. What's the telephone? It can't take you back, you know?
I think that it's cool hearing you talk about this. Alcove is one of my favorite places.
Ah, well, we have a lot in common, don't we?
Absolutely. And you know, it probably shouldn't be, but it absolutely is. I feel it's comfortable to me. Because in Alcove, for everybody who doesn't know what that is, it's on your Quest store. You can call that up. But you're able to, have you changed out all your photos and made it?
I'm very sensitive about sharing things. I tell you what, you should not like as much as I do. You know who created Alcove?
Who?
You don't know. I'm ready for it. AARP.
Oh, yeah. I knew it was, there's definitely a target market for that. That's why I said I should not like it as much as I do, but I do.
They created for me, not for you.
But that's all right, because you know what? It feels comfortable to me.
It's great.
It's a good space.
If you are stressed out, just sit there and look at the ocean and the dolphins and seagulls. You're great.
You know what it is for me? A lot of the VR spaces, you know, you have your avatar and you can move around. And regardless of whether you're immersed or you're in like a browser-based experience, you have some form of avatar. Yeah. But I think that for me, Alcove was one of the very first ones I was able to sit down in. And I don't know why that's so important to me, but my avatar just never can rest. And so I really liked being able to sit down in Alcove. And now there's a lot more other experiences that let you sit, like your avatar actually just kind of
in Alcove. Have you taken the bus, the VR bus in Alcove?
The VR bus? No.
Okay, you and I have to do this together.
All right.
We can pick the bus. I've done it many times by myself. Now I have a partner. It's a double-deck bus that goes through Paris. That goes through, if I take one in New York City, I mean, you literally on a double-decked bus, going the streets. In fact, I know New York, I live in New York. You go from 57th Street all the way down to Canal Street, sitting on a double-decker, looking out. So if I meet you, we can sit there and take the tour together and talk. How cool is that?
I've definitely done stuff like that. So I've walked through kind of like a marketplace in, I want to say it was Marrakesh or somewhere, but I've done little things like that. So I do that, but I'm going to go check that out too now.
Yeah.
That is really awesome. So when you think about social VR, do you invite people to your Alcove experience, or do you just are? Is that the space where you are?
Now that I met you, I will. I have not. Not enough people have VR, and one, some people just don't get it. They have it, but they don't feel it as much. Because I met Boogie, and I met you, and now I'm beginning to meet people who are really into it. So now I have some friends, you know, who get it. Don't have to explain it, you know, and they with the program.
And see, that's the thing, right? Is that we all kind of love this. And so at some point we found it and fell in love and it was great. But there are a lot of other people who find VR and they are challenged in some kind of way. So either they don't acclimate right away. And so there's some people who they get motion sickness when they first start. Did you have any of those kind of things?
No, and I had some really close friends who got motion sickness.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy who was a good friend, he said he found that chewing gum would mitigate the motion sickness. And this one guy who's a really good friend of mine, and he's a top theater producer. And I would try and convince him that you could do theater in VR. But he had terrible, I mean, he had eye strain. He had a terrible experience. So, I mean, this morning when you go into Horizon World, they say if you're photosensitive, you could have seizures. So it's not for everybody, but I think it's for most people.
Yeah. And I'm excited about that. So on the flip side of VR, we have AR. So have you gotten into augmented reality and are you excited about that at all? Do you have any plans in AR?
You know, I do. I have not done enough. Let me show you what I have.
What we got back there? Wayfair Ray-Ban stories. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. What is
that? Oh my God. Okay, because
those are the glasses?
Ray-Ban glasses.
Hey.
AR activated. Interlock with Spotify and Facebook. You can take phone calls, see AR, check your email. It's ridiculous. And it is like state-of-the-art stuff. And because fortunately, I'm known, people say, check this out. What do you think? And that's what I got.
Hey, I want them to know me too. You can reach me at metamindshift.com.
I'm going to this is recorded, so I will share the clip with them.
Hey, thank you. And anybody else who wants to send us some stuff, we could try it out here, right here on the show.
I have some great friends at Meta and who've really been very supportive, and I appreciate them so much.
Ah, okay. And so that is awesome. It's always good to have friends and collect them throughout these spaces because you're not just going to be in one. So you have mentioned a couple different spaces. So one is Horizons. You've mentioned Alcove. And so you are also a friend of all of ours. And so that is a friend of the Harlem Film Festival, the Harlem Film House, CR Capers, Artsy Marie, and Boogie, as you like to call her. And that is over in AltSpace. So how did you first hook up with them? What was your first experience in AltSpace?
I had gone to AltSpace because I'm also an advisor to the Universal Hip Hop Museum. They're building a space in AltSpace. But when I met CR, Cha Boogie, as she calls herself, how she names her avatar. I remember what the, I know what it was. There was a filmmaker who was talking to me about showing films in her in my space. We watched together. And I couldn't get a date that worked out. He said, okay, I go to this other one, Harlem Film House. So then CR asked me, would you do the moderation of discussion? I said, sure. So we went to Harlem Film House, showed the film, then the Q&A, I was inside and did that. And she gave me a tour. I mean, Harlem Film House is exquisite. It's so beautiful. Yes, it's eye-popping. And it has all this, like, not only is the theater nice, but they have the gallery, they have the gift store, mm-hmm. gift shop, and then they have this hidden nightclub. I think, whoa! So I think that she has really just pushed the envelope dramatically. And so we became friends instantly from that experience.
Yeah. And that experience is created by Artsy, and Artsy is a VR world builder. The Boom Boom Room is definitely that little secret spot that you can get into in there. Have you seen it with the mannequins that walk around down there and serve food and things like that?
That doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me.
It's outstanding. It's a beautiful space.
And in addition to that, though, the he introduced me to Daytona and Sweetie, who did the House Party Metaverse. And they're also excellent designers and developers. And
talk about that, because that's where we met on Friday. So talk about that.
Have you gone to the House Party?
I went after our show, yep.
Okay, well, that was just amazing. And I liked it so much. And it was just fun, you know, and the way I thought they were simply going to just recreate it, but the three of them kind of gamified it, mm-hmm. and they took dialogue from the movie and images from the movie, so it's a metaverse house party experience, and I was impressed that if you're going to be a great metaverse creator, you can't simply just replicate. Films or a real life experience, you got to extend it. They did that. I thought they did a brilliant job.
I love the experience on Friday. So let me just say that. So great job to all the team that helped put that together. You guys did an amazing job. But I love what you said too. Like, if you're going to create something that is a wonderful experience. You can't just recreate. And so I say that all the time, that people, when they're thinking about their metaverse, like people tend to just recreate the four walls that they're in. And I'm like, expand your mind. Like, this is the metaverse. You are not bound by anything. You don't have any limits. I'm a fan of space. So whenever you see my metaverses, I'm always out in outer space, like I'm somewhere just totally positioned out in the galaxy somewhere. Or, you know, that's even one of my favorite things to do when I first come into a space is go up.
I'm going to name drop again. That's my
go ahead.
You said you're a fan of space. Were you a fan of the TV series back? I don't know. Maybe you want to know about this film, Battlestar Galactica.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, well, do you remember Colonel Ty, the brother who was second in command on the ship?
I'm more of a Trekkie, so for me, I remember it just in passing. But yeah.
He's a good friend of mine. I talk to him on a regular basis. He's 93 years old, and he's a pioneer in terms of a black man, you know, being a second in command in a spaceship, Battlestar Galactica.
Wow.
His name is Terry Carter.
Terry Carter. That's funny. I got a friend named Terry Carter, but it is not your same friend. So that is awesome. Is there anything that you let me before I go there. We talked about the different VR experiences, VR, AR, and you're about to jump into AR with your glasses over there. Are you excited or have you dabbled in haptics yet where you can actually touch and feel in the metaverse?
No, I haven't, but that is clearly, because people who resist, I have a good friend, she's, you can't touch anything. Well, once haptic gets here, that will be possible, and of course, and the full bodysuit haptic.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where that's going, you know, or better off. So, listen, we're all adults here. So the technology has always been led by porn.
Yep.
That's what it always is. The reason why, you remember, it was VHS and then it was Sony. It were two different kind of formats. And Sony was actually technically better than the VHS. But VHS dominated and survived because VHS allowed pornography. Sony Betamax did not. And they lost war, even though they had better technology. So if you really want to see, it is likely and reasonable to expect that the new boundaries of the space will always be led by porn.
And, you know, I agree with you, and I think that it's interesting to hear you say it, but I definitely agree because that's something that, you know, I've said as well, is like the adult film industry kind of pushes this forward because they've been here a very long time because they are always innovating, always trying things that are new and fantastical in many different ways. And so there are some really cool things out in the world that... that have been here for a while that are coming to be mainstream right now. And I think that haptics is one of those things that is going to allow people to open the floodgates of their fantasies as well. And that is going to be absolutely interesting to see that occur. But, you know, also, I think, you know, we didn't really talk about data, but that is what is also kind of concerning to me, not kind of concerning, extremely concerning to me, because data is one thing that we all are giving up. And so you talk about VR being freedom, but we are consuming in a lot of these spaces. And so that's why I get excited about the blockchain. That's why I get excited about decentralization, because as long as that movement wins, we can build this out and we can build it out in a way where we're winning and we're owners of certain spaces. Talk about ownership and your metaverse we watch together. You own a metaverse. So talk to us about that, about just you know, kind of how empowering that is, or, you know, how you feel about your space.
You know, and for that, I focus less on that. I really focus on friction. I want people to be able to log in without having to download the app, it to be the Meta app or the Microsoft Ultimate app. You literally, if you type, you know, www.wewatchtogether.us, go straight on. All you need is your computer and an internet connection. You don't have to have any app to buy or so you're talking about ownership. If those other platforms decide to kick you off, you kicked off. But mine, what my team and I have built something that is, you have internet connection and a browser, preferably a Chrome browser, you can go straight to it. And I invite everybody who's watching this clip now to dial in, you know, wewatchtogether.us and register and take a tour, you know.
Register and take a tour. So you heard that as well. It is scrolling across the bottom here. You see it. It is wewatchtogether.us. So I love that you did that. That is a play on words, I'm sure. But we watch together, us. So we're all together. I don't know if you know this or not, but my club, I'm the founder of a club. That club is called Blackverse Metaverse Community. And every single Friday, most Fridays, we have gotten together all year to watch movies. And so I am really excited to be able to offer this as a space to my folks to get together and watch some movies. We're going to make that work somehow. But I think that, you know, it's really cool that, you know, we've been looking for a solution. So we started off, just so you know, we started off all of us watching in our headsets, or I was actually watching in my headset and then streaming it so that others could watch, depending on what the film was. Mm-hmm. And so that got really tired because, like, you know, you have to keep your head a certain way because otherwise it's floating around. So, you know, something like this is absolutely amazing, where we can all just come into the browser and be right there together. And we're still together. We still have a shared experience, and it's virtual.
You're actually in a room. I have three different screen rooms that you can pick from, and you can change your seat and walk around, and it's, you know, it's a destination.
Yeah. And I absolutely love that part too. So I walked in and you're able to pick your seat. And I said, you know, this feels just like the actual movies when you know, you get your little ticket. And especially now when you're doing it online, you select where you're going to sit at early in advance. But I walked in and I picked my seat, and then my character sat down. And I was like, yes, like your view changes. And so I thought that was really cool and just a really good way to kind of cultivate the experience and make sure that people were in tune. So I want to thank you so much for sharing and just being open with us today. We are just about out of time, man, but thank you.
Thank you, because as you said earlier, this is all about community building. So thank you for allowing me to be part of your community, and I'm inviting you to be part of mine.
Hey, and we're going to go hang out in Alcove. We'll make that happen too. Yeah. Maybe bring it back here. I don't know. But thank you so much. You guys, appreciate you so much, Mr. Warrington Hudlin. You guys, check out We Watch Together. And check out this video when we come back. We've got some announcements. We watch together.us. Make sure you go there. All right. So thank you so much. And we're going to have a message from our sponsors, and we'll come back, wrap up with some announcements and things that are happening in our communities that we all need to be aware of and make sure that we are ready for. So here we go. everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I want to say that I appreciate all of you for tapping in and watching with us. And, you know, we've got some really cool things that are happening in our space over the next couple of weeks. First of all, we have, thank you. We've got some comments from the folks that are watching. And so I want to say thank you so much to Mr. Warrington Hudland. I can't wait. We'll have you back on the show and we'll hang out in Alcove. But next up, you guys, I want to make you aware of something that is happening right here, right now. So the Blackverse Summit is coming. The power of decentralization is real. We are hopping into the metaverse, you guys, right here, right now. Go to blackverse.io/summit and get your tickets. Tickets are on sale right now. Blackverse Summit is happening September 15th through the 16th from 9 a.m. till noon. So we have an outstanding, a wonderful setup for you. We have some great speakers who are coming through, and that includes Artsy Marie, who is our world builder extraordinaire, one of the top women builders of the metaverse. We have Naja Roberts, who is Miss Crypto Queen. We saw her last week. We also have several people who are creating and building in our space. So please, please, please make sure that you have your ticket to the Blackverse Summit. Why? Because we are going into the metaverse. So we don't have to have a conference where we're sitting on Zoom and talking to each other in our real selves. We can be our avatar selves and show up and show out and talk to each other about the future of decentralization. I tell you all the time that people are building, we are building for this space. And so we're going to get to know people that are actually doing that, as well as visit a few metaverse spaces and experiences. So I want to once again thank all of our sponsors. And so our sponsors include Black Multiverse Enterprises. Thank you so much. Blackverse, our metaverse community. Thank you so much. To Technical Consulting, thank you so much. To the Black Business Network, Black Business Olympics, and Black Business Expo USA, thank you so much. And to the EE Testing Center, thank you so much. I also want to make a quick announcement that is letting folks know that the Black Business Olympics is happening September 19th through the 25th. So if you want to see Black business owners on 24/7, please tap in to your local Facebook and go to Black Business Expo USA. And if you want to sign up to be a speaker, you can go to blackbusinessexpousa.com and sign up to be a speaker and put your business and yourself on a platform that elevates you to a global stage. So thank you so much to all of our sponsors. We appreciate you. And thank you to Artsy Marie. Catch us next week. We're going to be talking all about avatars next week. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, and download wherever you are. I appreciate you all. Have a wonderful day. This is Nicole, and my voice is resting.